It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's Mother's Day this weekend, a time to maybe stop and listen to your mother. That's the name of a new book and national performance event that started here in Wisconsin, in Madison. Typically runs on or near Mother's Day weekend.
The show features the stories and voices of mothers and explores motherhood in all its guises. Anne Immig edited the collection of essays and contributed one of her own, too. She's the founder and national director of Listen to Your Mother, and she blogs at Anne's Rants. And welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, your new book and the show, Listen to Your Mother, all began when you were home alone in the early days of your motherhood, and you had to fight off isolation, and you did it by blogging. What were those early days like?
Wow, those early days were like 20-minute segments that went on for decades, it felt like. My husband was traveling a lot back then, and I just took comfort in finding the humor for my day and just sharing it. And I had no idea when I started blogging that I was going to form these amazing connections with other parents and creative people. So that was a big surprise.
And were you surprised to find that you weren't as isolated as you thought, that there was this huge national and international community out there who wanted to be in on this with you?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is I had a lot of support. I mean, I came back to Madison so I could be close to family and friends. And even so, even when you have the support that a person could need, just sort of the grind, the hours that go by, and especially those sort of sleepless hours in the middle of the night, they really are isolating, and it's hard to even articulate it. And so not only being able to have an outlet myself, but to discover so many other writers, you know, having that kind of inspiration and input and validation just by reading other people's work, it was really thrilling, and definitely made me feel like I was with a really big group of people going through the same thing.
And give us a little of the backstory here about how Listen to Your Mother, which is now, it's this performance event, it's a book, and it's a community. How did it all grow out of your early blog?
Well, I have a background in theater. In fact, I went to UW-Madison and was in a lot of productions in the 90s. And so when I started writing, it was heavily influenced, I think, by my acting background. And I actually went to my first blogging convention called Blog Her in 2009, shortly after I started blogging. And the event there, which I really felt like I found my people, was a live stage reading event. It was really simple. It was just writers, bloggers reading their own writing from the page at a podium. And I found it so moving. And I was sitting there trying to sort of figure out how and why it was so moving, because it was so simple. And that's sort of what planted the seed. And as a former performer myself, I really wanted to do that. And then a few months later, the timing was either a coincidence or completely, you know, destined, whatever you believe. But it was before Mother's Day, and I just thought, you know what? I feel like I want to do something in my real-life community. I want them to experience some of the creative vitality and peer support that I'm getting to experience online, but here in Madison. And I hosted auditions, and I could not believe the powerful stories that walked through the door. And about 300 people came to the Barrymore in 2010 for the first show on Mother's Day. And then I put the whole thing online. We had it videoed, and I put it online. And because I was really entrenched in this mom blogging world, I started to get requests from my blog friends wanting to do the show. And that's how it all started.
And it's become this national thing. Is it fair to call it a movement?
I think it is fair to call it a movement. We're in 39 cities this year, and it's both a live staged series and also a social media phenomenon because it's this grassroots project run by bloggers, 100 women around the country. And then we put all of the shows on YouTube. So we have a YouTube channel, LTYM Show, with over 1,000 stories of all different iterations, men, women, sons, daughters, moms, non-moms. And we'll be adding 500 more videos after this season. And it's a charitable giving mission. Each show gives 10% to a local cause supporting women and families in need. So I think it is fair to call it a movement.
Well, we're talking to Anne Imig right now about her new book of essays drawn from the performance event Listen to Your Mother. The book has the same title, and the book collects essays from on the national stage from these Listen to Your Mother events, and you open with one that I thought was incredibly poignant. It was really beautiful, I think, representative of what Listen to Your Mother does. It was about a mother who almost couldn't stand the closeness of her adult daughter. She was sort of overwhelmed. Can you tell us about that very first essay?
Oh, okay. So I think you're looking at a galley copy in which, are you talking about Orbits by Ruth Pennebaker? Is that the essay that you're looking at?
I believe so.
Yes. Okay. So Ruth Pennebaker is an amazing, talented writer. She's been based in Austin, and she writes this beautiful essay in which her adult daughter has asked her to tend to a wound on her back. And all of a sudden, Ruth is just transported, because it's been years since, you know, she had to physically have contact with her daughter in that way. And she just is transported. And the Orbits title is about how when the children were little, they circled around the children, constantly tending to them. But as they age, those circles get wider and wider until the kids sort of make circles around you that go farther and farther away. It makes me cry every time. It's beautifully written, and there's a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, there's a mixture of humor and sadness and joy running through all of these. There's one performance, so we've got a little bit of Rebecca Anderson Brown. Do you want to set up what this one is about?
Yeah, so Rebecca's local here in Madison, and she read an incredibly powerful story about mothering through depression, and she read it on stage here in Madison a couple of years ago, and it's just about her ongoing sort of battle to not only mother through their depression, but the knowledge that what a strong hereditary component this has, and how she's so vigilant, not only in monitoring herself, but watching her children. And it really, really ends at a place of strength. And that's what I love about the harder essays in the book and on stage. We go through some very sort of heart-wrenching content at times, but those are the stories that I feel like are like an outstretched palm to other people going through something similar.
Here's a little bit of that one from Rebecca Anderson Brown.
Martin Luther King Day, 2002. I sat huddled in the corner of my bedroom, sobbing, trying desperately to disappear, and my husband trying desperately to find something that would help me. I was terrified, swallowed up by darkness, hopelessness, utterly convinced that the baby growing inside me not only deserved better, but might not even make it, so thick and poisonous were my thoughts.
Rebecca Anderson Brown sharing some difficult things. There are things we don't often share with a lot of people, let alone hundreds of people and thousands more, you know, via the internet. What did it mean to people who heard her essay? How did they respond?
We call these moments Me Too moments. What often happens in the lobbies of our show is that people from the audience come in, have conversations with our readers, and they say, Me Too. And I went through that too, or I'm going through something similar. And so really these women and men who boldly get up on stage are really giving a great gift, because there's so many people, like you said, Veronica, who will never get up on stage and share their most deeply personal story. But it provides such a service, because people in the audience know that they're not alone, whatever it is they're going through.
And they're not all difficult moments. There's a lot of laughter. Your essay is really funny. If it's the same one that you've got in the final copy of the book, it's
yes,
it's
the
a
children
my
ate
children
my
ate my gratitude. Right. Tell us about that one.
Oh my gosh. Well, I wrote this essay a couple of years ago when I was working at my computer, and my son came to my office and he said, "Mom, can I have one?" And you know, I look up thinking he's talking about potato chips or something, and there's nothing in his hands, and he's reaching into the silver box I keep on my desk, and I'm so confused, because what's in that silver box are tiny scraps of paper where on my therapist's advice I've been writing things that I'm grateful for, like practicing gratitude in an active way. And I said, "Son, you know, that's paper." And he said, "Well, Max had one yesterday." So lo and behold, I find out my children have literally been eating my gratitude.
Yeah, they're eating. You phrase it funnily in the book that they're eating, you know, your friends, your girlfriends, and your husband, and Mark Ruffalo, and
the house cleaners, dry martinis.
Yeah.
They've already eaten everything out of the pantry and all my minutes and patience, and now they're eating all of my loved ones, you know, sliver by sliver.
What do you think people respond to so much in these essays? I mean, I guess one thing universal is everyone has a mother, but why do you think you seem to have hit this nerve where people wanted to really talk about it and reflect on it and celebrate it?
You know, I think there's a couple of different reasons. We've really built this project with intention that we want to hear all of it. That this isn't just like mothers are the most amazing, wonderful thing, which they are, but not everybody had that kind of relationship with their mother. Not everyone chooses to become a mother, and we really honor that and lift it up right along with the other stories. And I think it really is about nurturing, and we really recognize that almost everyone is called to put someone's needs before their own at some point in their life. But really, I think the biggest reason is something you already touched on, which is the isolation of modern motherhood. So many people do not live at home or even in their hometown. And, you know, the more we are in front of screens and disconnected from one another, the more profound it is to gather together in real life and be in the presence of these stories and people willing to be that outstretched palm.
We're talking about motherhood today in honor of Mother's Day, which is coming up this Sunday. Anne Ibbig is with us. She's the founder and national director of Listen to Your Mother. Her new book is called Listen to Your Mother, What She Said Then, What We're Saying Now.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your most powerful memory of your mother, or your most powerful memory from being a mother? What would you like to tell us in honor of Mother's Day? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. With Mother's Day around the corner, we're celebrating with Anne Ibbig. She's the editor of the new essay collection, Listen to Your Mother, based on the national performance event, which started here in Madison. She also blogs at Anne's Rants.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen one of these Listen to Your Mother shows in person or online? How did it match your reality? And what memories of your mother stand out? What would you want to share with the world about your mom? Or if you are a mom, what do you want people to be thinking about on Mother's Day? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Jenny Lawson is another writer who appears in your book, and she writes about what she sees as what can be a judgmental culture around mothers, why it can be tough to be a mother. Let's take a listen to that one.
Becoming a parent subjects you to a whirlwind of new and strange emotions and can leave you feeling more vulnerable than you have ever been in your entire life. It is at this exact moment that you will find yourself set upon by strangers intent on telling you exactly how terrible you are as a parent. You might think that you will easily brush aside these criticisms as you are now a grown-up and you understand that you are master of your own destiny and that peer pressure is something you overcame in high school. But then you'll find yourself in tears because someone said your child will become a drug addict because you once got an epidural, or that you should be forcibly sterilized because you put your kid on a leash. That last one there, not a joke. That totally happened to me.
And what you don't hear there is Jenny Lawson explaining that the reason her child is in her Elmo halter is because she has a condition where if her mother holds her hand and the daughter trips, that her joints dislocate really easily, and then she'll have a screaming child who needs to get a dislocated joint put back in, so she uses this harness. I think that's what's part of what draws people, like you said, is this Me Too factor, that it's not something you have to keep in if you're not having an easy time. You can get it out there and get some comfort.
I think so, too.
What do you think about how people responded to that one by Jenny Lawson?
Well, Jenny, that essay is absolutely hysterically funny. Nearly every interviewer mentions that essay because it's so current. She goes on to, it's like overhearing a conversation between all these moms judging each other. But what I really love about it is that I feel like she treats all of them with compassion, because what it's really talking about is how completely overloaded modern American parenting is with all of the information, and we almost don't know what to do with it. And so we latch on to whatever it is we're doing or we think we're doing, and then perhaps some of us might be judging other people's choices at the same time. But, I mean, there's no way I can describe it to you. You've got to read it. Jenny's a New York Times bestselling author, which we do have, like Jennifer Weiner's in this book. There are some really notable authors. But the heart of Listen to Your Mother are often people who don't consider themselves writers, who have never been on stage before. But like you said, Veronica, it's like the story is so important, and it's kind of almost pressing and present on their heart. And then they see an audition sign, and it just compels them to take a risk and do this.
We've got a caller. Let's go to Gordon in Chicago, Illinois. And you can join us, too, at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What story do you want to get off your chest about your own mother or about being a mother? Gordon, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. You're coming through loud and clear.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Forgive me for some of the sound in the background. The specific story I have to share about my mother, because you asked us on the phone, and I've actually never called in to do something like this, so thank you for taking my call. The memory I have of my mother most specifically was sitting down with her in Tucson, Arizona, on her back porch, and somehow the discussion about my dad was coming up, my father, and her sort of hating him, and myself having that same hatred. And here's the interesting piece is that somehow that conversation turned to my mother starting to well up with tears, and I kind of had a sense of maybe what was coming. And she said, you know, I had to be not only your mother and deal with all the stuff that was, you know, you as a boy becoming a man, but I also had to be really your father in a lot of ways too. And she started to sob. Now, what does that have to do with motherhood? Well, what it reminds me is that she had to understand how to be in the role of a mother, and in the best way she could, take on the role of being a father. And I held her hand, and let me tell you, it's one of the most intense things. I don't know if it's because of a son and a mother, but holding my mother's hand and watching her sob about this ripped my heart out. But I can remember her incredible strength for her willingness to talk about such a thing, and the joy that I had in her being willing for me to be there for her. That's my story. It was very touching.
That's very powerful, Gordon. Did that happen when you were grown?
Yeah, I think I was probably, I'm going to say probably 42 years old, somewhere around there. I'm just going to guess. Yes.
So it took a while to get to that conversation. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you so much for calling for the first time. We appreciate that,
yeah,
too.
Thank you so much.
And Anne, that conversation happening later on, maybe not until everybody was ready for it. What do you think about a story like that between a mother and a son?
Well, Gordon's like the perfect example in a couple of ways. Him saying, I've never called in before. For some reason, this project, that's what it does. People sitting in the audience, they immediately go to their memory and start writing or telling their story, like while they're still sitting in the audience or while they're hearing about it. So I meet people and they immediately tell me their stories, which I love. The other thing is it's a really neat thing here in the Madison Show, which our Madison Show is on Mother's Day at the Barrymore at 3:00. We do see adult children with their parents come to the show together. And I think it's a sweetness that comes in adulthood where our parents can, you know, feel okay about sharing things that you don't want to burden a child with. And I think it's a really neat part of aging that maybe people don't expect, an opportunity to have a different relationship with your parent or your child.
And you said that a lot of the people in the show, in the book, are, some of them are famous writers, but a lot of them are people who just have a story to tell that's pressing on them. Can you tell us about one of those people?
Sure. One that comes to mind is Lisa Allen, who talks about her dad, who really raised her. He was a sheriff's deputy, and as was pretty custom when she was growing up, probably in the 80s, I think she's about my age, is custody often went to the mom, which it did at first, but then it really should have been with the dad. And Lisa did a Listen to Your Mother show in Kansas City, and her piece is in this book, and there's a lot of really fine writers who you don't necessarily know their names, but they have been blogging for years, and her story is very tender, and I think a lot of people will relate who didn't have that relationship with their mom that was their primary caretaker, but it was somebody else, like the dad or a grandma or an aunt or an uncle.
And you've been doing this event now all over the country. What are some of your most powerful memories from these events?
I'm still so in the middle of it. I mean, taking my mom with me to our first New York show was in 2012 was beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And, oh, boy, I mean, I've gotten to see shows in the Twin Cities, in Chicago, in D.C. I mean, the heartbreaking thing for me is they're all clumped together in 2 weeks, and because I still do a show, I can't begin to get to all of these events. And I just love, as much as I love to do my own show, to just sit in the audience and listen is really an incredible experience.
Well, this has evolved a lot for you since those early days when you felt so isolated. What do your kids think now that their mom has launched a book and this national event that has become so popular?
I think they're warming to the idea. I didn't really prepare them very well when this whole thing took off, pretty much because I had no idea it was going to happen myself. So they went from sort of finding themselves on the cover of the State Journal in like kindergarten and younger, you know, and wanting nothing to do with it, to they just came, we went as a family to the book launch in Brooklyn last month, and they seem really pretty proud, and I loved watching them listen to the stories, and I think they're going to come and be in the audience this year. It's really not for kids. It's a PG-13 kind of experience, so for some kids, you know, it works, but it's not really a kids' show, but it's been really neat to see my kids kind of warming to the whole thing.
Well, Anne, thank you so much, and happy Mother's Day in advance.
Happy Mother's Day to you, Veronica, and thank you both for having me on the show.
We've been talking to Anne Imig. She's the founder and national director of Listen to Your Mother, and now a new book of essays by the same name called Listen to Your Mother, What She Said Then, What We're Saying Now.
There's more to come here on Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.